and a young Ukrainian bandura virtuoso by the name of Yaroslav Juice, and his friend Valentin Bogdanov. And they were performing a cover, an instrumental cover of the Eurovision 2016 winning entry by Ukraine, performed by Jamala, and that was 1944, a song about Stalin's deportation of the Crimean Tatars during World War II. Yaroslav Juice and Valentin Bogdanov. Вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопередачу «Наш голос» радіо українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам англійською мовою з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. З вами Павліна Макворі. Дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Hello there and welcome to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you from Vancouver Island on the west coast of Canada, courtesy PCJ Radio International. I'm your host, Paulette Demchik-McQuarrie, Pokrinska Pavlina, and I'm delighted to have you with me. In this hour, we'll have Ukrainian Jewish Heritage featuring an interview with Julia Korsunsky of RememberUs.org, which works to commemorate Holocaust victims who perished in Ukraine. As well, an interview with Anna Dombrovska of Ottawa, who'll be telling us about Ukrainian war veterans who are cycling across North America and will be stopping in Vancouver next week. And, of course, our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And coming up next, Oleksiy Kedekesha with Fata Morgana and Oy Upolinevka in the cornfield.
Там дівчина жито жала. Темная ніч, тільки гради свистять вдалині, без зупинок і без вихідних лупить арта скажена. В цей пізній час ти, кохана, в Фейсбуці сидиш, видивляєшся вістки за то, молиш Бога за мене. Курва війна розлучила з тобою мене, але вона неодмінно колись скінчиться. Знаю, тоді знову ми, як колись, заживемо. Віра в це надихає мене, і загарбником биться. Нечисть повзе, вже осілася міцно в Криму, пошматовано рідний Донець, біль у душах стражденних. Так як колись мій дідуньо фашистів смалив, так і я за поребрик зжену окупантів мерзенних. Холод і сніг, бруд окопів у нігті проріз, і лиш у сні все ошатно і променисто. Хоч би на мить доторкнутись до тебе з дітьми, обійняти стареньких батьків, прогулятись по місту. Вже багатьох не побачиш у нашім строю, тіло в землі, але пам'ять про них не тлінна. Низько вклонись всім загиблим в нерівнім бою, всім, хто душу і тіло поклав за твою Україну.
And that was Marko Sablić with a song called Temnaya Nich, Dark Night, and it is a song about life in the war zone in eastern Ukraine today. Coming up next, Korinya, a folk group from the eastern United States, and a folk dance, Tarantali Tansok.
Thank you.
Ви слухаєте радіопередачу «Наш голос» радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio. Говорить Павліна. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you courtesy PCJ Radio International. I'm your host, Павліна. And now for a look at Ukraine's rich Jewish heritage, then and now. Brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter, based in Toronto, Ontario. Today we'll be speaking with Julia Korsunsky, whose story we first heard on Nash Holos last year. Julia is the executive director of RememberUs.org, a nonprofit organization based in Massachusetts. Her organization is involved in commemorating mass grave sites of Holocaust victims, which include her great-grandparents and many of her other relatives. Last year, we learned about a project her organization is involved in, which is planting trees at killing sites in order to commemorate victims of genocide. These trees, by their very nature, are appropriately symbolic for this purpose. The trees have been planted at several sites now, and the project continues. However, it is just part of a larger endeavor, and Julia Korsunsky, executive director of RememberUs.org, has kindly agreed to tell us more about it. So welcome, Julia, to Nash Holos.
Hello. Wanted to be here.
So it's great to connect. It was wonderful to hear your story, and it's nice. We heard your voice a little bit. Peter shared some of his recordings of your conversation, but it's nice to see your face. Well, I can see your face. Our listeners can't. But it's wonderful to connect with you on Skype, and thank you again for joining us. Now, we talked about the Metasequoia Project. So just give us a little bit of a recap of how it all started.
Well, it's a very long story how it all started. We can go as deep as to my childhood, but basically it all started with a memorial that is built on a place of atrocity in Kharkiv, which is a place called Drabitsky Yar. And it all started as a family project. We just wanted to commemorate my family and plant some trees there. And then we were picking up trees and we decided that Metasequoia, as you just mentioned, is the most appropriate kind of tree because of its history and that it lives for a very long time. So we can create an ever-living memorial at that place. And when we started doing it, we realized that would be a very good, nice gesture, but no more than that. And that this memorial particular needed much more help than we as a family could provide. And that's understanding was the beginning of our organization. So as soon as we planted trees there, we were asked to plant trees in other places, and that started the whole program and framework.
Now, Yar is a Ukrainian word for ravine. Right. And yes. Babyn Yar is quite familiar, I think, to anybody who has studied the Holocaust or is aware of the Holocaust in Ukraine, because that's located in Kyiv, and they recently commemorated their 75th anniversary of that atrocity. But this happened many other places in what is now Ukraine and Poland and other parts of Eastern Europe, where a lot of the Holocaust was by bullets, essentially. And you found your family in Drabitsky Yar, and that is near Kharkiv in eastern Ukraine. And how did your family discover your roots going back there? You said it was your great-grandparents, the parish there.
Right, and as I said, the story started basically in my childhood when I was a child, I've learned in school about Babi Yar. And I came home and I was amazed that something like that could happen in my country, because I've heard about Holocaust, but I thought Holocaust was somewhere in some far away land. Yeah. I didn't realize that it was in Ukraine too, or rather in the Soviet Union. So I came home and I started talking to my grandmother about it. And she got very emotional and she just said, "Stop talking about it. I don't need to hear about Babi Yar. Drabitsky Yar is right here, and your family is there." And that was probably 30-second conversation that I remembered as a child. But only as an adult, I came back to that memory. And for the first time, I went to Drabitsky Yar already as a visitor to Ukraine from the United States, which was very recently. And only standing there on that soil, that when the understanding of what happened really was a big revelation to me. It's a very strange and very scary to tell you the truth and experience.
Yeah, I would think it would be. Now, you grew up in Ukraine. How long have you been in the States?
Almost 30 years, 29 years.
Okay, but you were a child. Now, you have a daughter.
I wasn't a child. I was a young adult. Yes, I have a daughter. I have a son as well, but our son is not part of the organization, but our daughter is. We started an organization, three of us, my husband, myself, and our daughter.
Okay, so let's talk about the organization and rememberus.org.
So when we saw that we can really help only by creating a formal structure, by formalizing it, my husband and I started doing it, and our daughter was very supportive, and she became also part of this process. And it took a few months for us to do all the paperwork. And within a few months, we went from three people organization, volunteer organization, mm-hmm. you know, family kind of organization, to four people, six people, seven people. And now we are over 30 volunteers.
Wow.
4.5 years later.
Wow.
We are all volunteer organization. There is no paid staff. Of course, we do pay yeah. money for work mm-hmm. as expected, but ongoing projects are led by volunteers. The volunteers come up with ideas, and that's what we do.
Wow. So the trees, you said that was your family, an idea to commemorate your own family site. So who is it that asked you next to plant it elsewhere?
I think the next one was Kremenchuk. We now have a long list of communities that we're working with.
Mm-hmm.
And Yar, yes, that's a Ukrainian name for a ravine. And Babi Yar is the only one that is known.
Right.
But there are over 1,000 Yars and places like that.
Yeah.
And in some of them are thousands of people were murdered.
Yeah.
And then some of them, hundreds or even a few people. So we work with Lubny and Zasulya community, which is one place, kind of Lubny town and Zasulya village. We work with Kremenchuk, we work with Bila Tserkva, Mirgorod. We also work with Babi Yar as well. We planted Metasequoia trees there, which
you
was
did.
Very symbolic for us as well.
Mm-hmm. So this project has grown and it's continuing to grow.
Yes, this particular project is part of a bigger framework that we call Last Mile. So Last Mile framework has multiple milestones. One of them is planting trees and just raising awareness, local awareness,
mm-hmm.
that things happen right here, right in your backyard. As a next milestone to this Last Mile framework, we create a Holocaust memorial, a Holocaust museum or exhibition mm-hmm. in a local school. And examples of such exhibitions are in Lubny or Zasulya and Kremenchuk. We also, as a next step, we not only create those artifacts, but we also create a means to learn from those places. So we organize and sponsor ongoing school and college tours to places atrocities and to the museum so kids can be educated at the place, because it's completely different from when your teacher is standing in front of you and oh. trying to tell you stories and numbers versus when you're standing there on the soil. It's a completely, completely different experience. So that's complete framework. And then we come to US and we tell those stories here, and that completes our full circle. And that's why it's called Last Mile. We go last mile, we go to the place, collect the information, do our projects there.
Mm-hmm. And the last mile is the final.
Yes, that's
yeah.
exactly why. Lots of us is in IT industry, and last mile is a very common term in IT industry and communications.
Oh, I didn't realize. So you're in the IT business then?
Yes, yeah. I am in IT. My husband is in IT. And me, as I said, we're all volunteers. So we have people from many different industries. We have lots of students. That's our biggest group of volunteers, high school and college students.
And so these volunteers, you said you've got over 30 now. And where are they located?
All over US and all over Ukraine. We have people in Boston, Washington, D.C., in New York, and we have people in Kharkov, Mirgorod, Lubny, Zasulia, Kremenchuk, Kiev, Bila Tserkva, and I'm probably missing some communities.
So what are some of the tasks that these volunteers are involved in?
Oh, a lot, actually. They do a lot, and they do absolutely wonderful job. What's important to me that those volunteers have completely diverse background, and some of them Jews, and many of them are not. And that is very, very important to me, because I think only when we have this, when we work together, mm-hmm. and it doesn't really matter what your background is, as long as you understand that it was tragedy that needs to be remembered, that needs to be remembered not only for the past, but also for the future, mm-hmm. that the next generation needs to learn about it, only then we can achieve some results. So, going back to your question, they help us to organize different commemoration and education events. For example, if you go to our Facebook page, you will see pictures of that. We have in the Zasulia School Museum, we have a museum there, and there are kids, high school kids, who are tour guides in that museum, which is fantastic because they speak the language of their peers. They can connect to their friends much better than if that was done by adults only. Of course, they work with the director, school director there. He guides them, but they are the ones who are actually doing the work. Similar things is done in Kharkiv, where we didn't build any museum, but we do have ongoing tours, volunteer tour guides there.
What about people listening here in North America? What would a volunteer be doing here?
Here, what we do, also lots of different things. Another example, we have face-to-face presentations. And someone called me last year, 2 years ago, and the lady said, well, you usually do face-to-face presentation in front of the kids or grown-ups, but younger generation. Have you thought of doing it in front of the older people?
Oh.
And I was at first taken aback because I didn't realize what was the goal. And she said, well, if we talk to seniors, if you talk to veterans, they need to see that there is someone who is picking up the button of that knowledge, that there is a continuity of that knowledge. And I thought, wow, that sounds like a good idea. So this lady worked with someone in our team and organized the first presentation. And the presentation is done by our local high school students. And it was one of the most emotional presentations because they were talking to seniors, to people who actually lived through those events. And that became our ongoing program. And that program is very beneficial for both sides. And in fact, in that program, we uncovered that one of the righteous among the nations lives right here in our area. So our students were able to connect to him, to get his story, to record that story, which was also very valuable.
Wow, wonderful work you're doing. And the Last Mile Project is only one of many. So you've got Shtetl Tours. Just give us a little bit of an idea of what that's about and some of the other projects you're involved in.
So Forgotten Shtetl Trips is also a very interesting and very popular project. What we do, we take our volunteers from Ukraine and from U.S., and we take them into those places where atrocities were and where Jewish community used to live, and we show them how Jewish community lived together with Ukrainian community, how it used to look. And believe it or not, there are lots of historical artifacts there, and there are enough older people who know and can tell different stories, stories of Holocaust and stories that they've heard even prior to Holocaust, stories of family stories. So it's a very interesting, very popular program as well.
Is this just for volunteers or is it open to the public?
For now, it's just for volunteers and teachers.
Okay.
I think in expanding it next year, probably to open it to public. But for now, it's a very on a smaller scale. We're about to go on our third trip this summer.
This summer will be your third. I see. So if somebody wanted to get involved with your organization, support your organization, what are your needs?
Immediate need, I'm going to be frank about it, are funds. That's the hardest. Yeah. It just happened that none of us is a professional fundraiser, so that's our biggest challenge. Mm-hmm. So if people want to get involved, have idea of the project to implement on site, I'm happy to talk about it. They can get in touch with me via either email or Facebook, or if someone wants to maybe donate, we would be glad.
So donations or volunteer help for fundraising.
Yes.
Yeah, and you were saying everybody is a volunteer, so this is all done from the heart, and there's a personal reason to be involved, and I guess personal satisfaction as well through the work.
Exactly. We are volunteers. We're doing it not for financial gain or a project that we do for a living. So motivation should be your personal, what you want to do.
Your passion.
Your personal passion. Yeah, I guess that's the word.
Yeah, awesome. So tell us again, Julia, how to reach you.
I have a Facebook page. It's rememberus.org. And we have a web page, rememberus.org. Very easy to remember, the same as the name of our organization. And my email is julia@rememberus.org.
Okay, well, that's easy to remember. Great name, and also a fantastic project. Thank you so much for sharing your story and for the work that you do, for your passion to let people know that, yes, there was tragedy in the past, but we can learn from it. I think it's a special person that can share their personal tragedy and try to help others learn from it as well. So thank you so much for doing that, Julia.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ukrainian Jewish Heritage is brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter, based in Toronto, Ontario. To find out more about their work, visit their website and follow them on Facebook and Twitter. Transcripts and audio files of this and earlier broadcasts of Ukrainian Jewish Heritage are available at their website, ukrainianjewishencounter.org, as well as at the Nash Holos website, www.nashholos.com.
Донбасом в кровову годину поставали наші хлопці знов за батьківщину, поставали наші хлопці знов за батьківщину. Україну злії люди хочуть зґвалтувати, тому стали українці її захищати, тому стали українці її захищати. Із всієї України зібрались завзяті, грудьми стали до загину рятувати маті, грудьми стали до загину рятувати маті. Ради смерті урагани, смерть носила люта, та не зможуть ці тирани в рабство нас закути, та не зможуть ці тирани в рабство нас закути. Буде жити добра слава на землі козацькій, і збереже Бог державу у любові братській, і збереже Бог державу у любові братській.
And Oris Lute with a song called Oi Uluzi Pi Donbasom, a meadow in the Donbass. Up next, Tin Sonsia with Yihale Kozake, Riding Cossacks. Слухайте радіопередачу «Наш голос» Радіо Крінського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, говорить Павліна. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio on PCJ Radio International. I'm your host, Павліна. On Wednesday, June 13th, a team of 10 Ukrainian cyclists on a transcontinental tour will be stopping in Vancouver. The tour is called Chumuk Way, and the cyclists are Ukrainian cycling enthusiasts and veterans of the war in eastern Ukraine. The goal of the tour is to raise awareness of the need for peace in eastern Ukraine and other war-torn areas of the world. Anna Dombrovska is in charge of public relations for the U.S. and Canada for the Chumuk Cycling Tour. She joins us now by Skype to tell us all about it. So welcome, Anna. Вітаю.
Дякую, Павлина. It's great to be on your program, and thank you for the invitation. So, as you mentioned, Chumuk Way Cycling Tour is a tour across U.S. and Canada, and it's a tour for peace. And 10 Ukrainian volunteers and war veterans will be cycling 10,000 kilometers in 100 days from Pacific to Atlantic.
Wow.
And it's going to be a team of 10 people. Some of them are veterans, as I mentioned, including the head, the person who inspired this tour, Konstantin Samchuk. He's a veteran of ATO. So everyone is welcome to meet with the team and join the tour. And the cyclists actually would like to invite as many people as they can.
So to join them on part of the journey.
Right, yeah, because the idea of this tour is to raise awareness about what's happening in Ukraine and to bike for peace in Ukraine. And this is something we have to remind people over and over again, that the war hasn't ended and there is a big need for peace and to join efforts to actually end the war in Ukraine.
Yeah, and so this tour would be a good way of raising awareness for it and letting people know about it and somehow put pressure on Mr. Putin?
Well, in the end, it's also important to establish connections. So Ukrainians in Ukraine don't know much about Ukrainians in US and Canada, and it's a good opportunity to connect and also to thank Canadian and US citizens for the help they provided while Ukraine is in such a difficult situation. So it's a tour of thankfulness. It's a tour of building bridges between Ukrainians all over the world and being grateful to Canadian and US citizens for the help they provided. Mm. Participants of the tour also believe in a better future for Ukraine without war, because many of them have participated in Euromaidan since its first days. Serhii Konoval, who is a tactical medicine specialist, he spent a year in Euromaidan and then he had to go and serve in eastern Ukraine. So these people have seen the war and they know there is much more that Ukraine can do without the war. So they believe in better future for Ukraine. And that's why they want to show with their tour what Ukraine can do. That's why they're bringing innovations. They're bringing something that people, despite the war, are able to create in Ukraine.
Like.
And they're bringing, that's why they're cycling. So, and cycling culture is a very positive thing for your health, for connecting with people, for sustainability. So that's kind of a symbol that they want to show that Ukraine can do more if it's not stopped by all these nasty things that are happening in the East. The innovations that I mentioned are produced in Ukraine. So one of them is a Delfast bike. It's an electric bike that is recorded in the Guinness World Book of Records for the longest single ride for a single charge that is over 300 miles.
Wow.
Yeah, we didn't know about it until we found out about the Chimakwe tour.
Wow.
And another innovation, I would say it's an older innovation, but at that time, that was a breakthrough. So this is a Ukrainian bike that was produced in Soviet times in Ukraine in the 80s. It's a super light track bike called NA. Just to give you an idea what it is, it was created by Antonov Airplane Plant.
Oh.
In the 80s, that was the lightest bicycle, I would say, in the whole world. The weight of the frame of this bicycle was 2.8 kilograms.
Really?
And many Ukrainian cyclists won first places and gold medals in world championships on this bike.
Wow, sounds like you can fold it up and put it in your suitcase. So at these stops that they're making on their tour, then are they inviting people to come and see what they are? And are they going to be demonstrating or displaying these cycling innovations?
That's the idea, just to showcase what good things can be produced in Ukraine and to draw interest of Canadians to these innovations. The team stops in different places. If we're talking about the route, they started in Los Angeles. It's a big city. They have a lot of time there, and there is a big amount of people who can come over and actually participate in a meeting. So in major towns, in major cities, there will be a meeting, of course, and there will be a possibility for the cyclists to test drive and to see those innovations.
Great. So I'll find out the details for Vancouver in a minute, but you said it started in LA on what, May 23rd, and it's going to how many places in 100 days?
Roughly 400 towns and cities in 100 days.
400 towns in 100 days. Wow.
Yeah. They're moving quite fast, and it's roughly 100 kilometers per day if you're not counting stops. So it could be up to 150, 190 kilometers per day of travel.
Did they actually come prepared? Because I know a lot of Europeans don't realize how vast North America is, and just the distances between the cities. You know, there aren't. You know, it's not Siloa after Siloa, just a, you know, a few miles down, or kilometers down from the next Siloa. Have they been surprised at all, or did they study the geography and the topography extensively before they embarked on this very ambitious project?
Well, they have a really good navigation specialist who is Maxim Semak. Some of the organizers know his name because he was connecting with the Ukrainians all over the route. So Maxim did a professional GPS routing for the tour, and they know exactly how much elevation they will get this or that day and where they're going and mm-hmm. how many kilometers. So at this point, since May 23rd, they are on track. So they are on time, despite all the difficulties that they have faced so far.
Such as?
Basically, the weather, the wind. When the wind is blowing into mm-hmm. your face, it's really difficult to make all those kilometers. And also, there were some health problems and issues, but it's all fine. They're tough guys. And there is also a girl whose name is Olga, who is in the team.
Wow.
And also, they definitely have experience. So previously, they did a couple of journeys. One of them is called East-West. The idea of that trip was to cycle from Eastern Ukraine to Western Ukraine, kind of a uniting Ukraine and spreading awareness about what the veterans have seen in the East. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes we just live in our closed space and we don't know much mm-hmm. and we don't know the truth. So what is very valuable in the arrival of the veterans with the cycling tour is the opportunity to ask them questions. How does it look like? What is really like there in the East? Another trip was Ukrainians in Europe. That was a very similar trip because it took them 100 days and 10,000 kilometers and 16 countries of Europe.
Okay.
So that was a good preparation for the North American tour.
Fair enough. So when are they coming to Vancouver and where?
They're crossing the border just coming from Washington State to Vancouver on June 13th, according to the schedule. And the Ukrainian-Canadian Congress, British Columbia, will be meeting them there and filming this meeting there at the border.
And from the border, where will they be available to the public?
On June 14th at 7 p.m., the UCC British Columbia, together with Maple Hope Foundation, are organizing a meeting for everyone, the Ukrainian community and the cycling clubs. And so everyone is welcome at that meeting. The meeting would take place at 7 p.m. At BCIT campus, room SE06, TELUS Theater.
Okay.
Everyone's welcome there, and Ukrainian Canadian Film Festival is also our partner. It's based in Ottawa, but it happens all over Canada as well. And they will provide a documentary by one of the Ukrainian directors.
At this meeting, there'll be a film screening as well as an opportunity to meet the cyclists.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And also on June 15th at 6 p.m., there will be a bike ride, of course. If you have cyclists, you have to join them on the bikes. The exact place will be announced. If you would like more information, you can contact Natalia Yatskevich, president of UCC British Columbia, 778-899-8048.
Awesome. So is there any place online people can find out more information?
Yes, absolutely. Most of the communication of the tour happened on Facebook, and it's a great platform to connect and find out more about the events, perhaps before Vancouver or later on. So the Facebook page is Chumak Way America. And also we have Twitter account and Instagram if you would like to see pictures, as well as a special sports tracking program called Strava. All the information is collected, is gathered at proidesvit.org website. That is proidesvit.org.
Okay, so all of that is somewhere online, and all you need to do is just do a search for Chumak Way. Is that correct?
Chumak Way 2018 or Chumak Way.
Okay, super. Well, it sounds like a fantastic event. Now, you're a cyclist yourself, but you're not in Vancouver. You're in Ottawa, so people won't be able to meet you here, but they will be able to meet these 10 cyclists and perhaps join them for part of this journey that is going to be going east, eastern Canada, down the States, and up again to Canada, and then finally Washington, I believe, is where it's going to wrap up.
Yes, in New York and Washington, there will be final events. Specifically, the Day of Independence in Ukraine is planned to be celebrated in New York.
Wow.
with a lot of Ukrainian community being there, and I believe a marathon or kind of a half marathon. And also in Washington, the capital of the United States, where the embassy of Ukraine is situated, there will be another celebration. It's planned on August 29th, but we will be updating everyone about the exact date and time. So everybody's welcome to be there, and everybody's welcome to find out about the schedule of the tour online. There are so many places where you can meet the cyclists and to join them, and it doesn't matter if you're Ukrainian or not. Everybody's very welcome if you would like to bike for peace.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Anna, for sharing all this information, and good luck with the planning of the rest of this very ambitious tour, and look forward to seeing the cyclists in Vancouver.
Thank you very much, Pavlina. It was a pleasure talking to you.
And likewise. Take care.
Це наша земля, це наші полі, від Галіфакс до другого моря. Це наша земля, це наші полі, це є наш новий край. Як я приїхав до цього краю і видів горе, лісі і морі, тут була пуща і файне полі. Це є наш новий край. This land is your land, this land is my land. From Buena Vista to Vancouver Island, from the Arctic Circle to the Great Lake waters, this land is made you and me. Це наша земля, це наші полі, від Галіфакс до другого моря. Це наша земля, це наші полі, це є наш новий край. Це є наш новий край. Це є наш новий край.
And Mickey and Bunny with that classic, Це наша земля, This Land is Our Land. For the very best in Ukrainian programming, tune in to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio here on PCJ Radio International on AM, FM, shortwave, and satellite radio. If you missed the live radio transmission, you can get the podcast links at our website, www.nashholos.com. So please do visit us there in between broadcasts, as well as our Facebook page and Twitter. There's also a link there to our Patreon site, and I hope you'll consider following and engaging with me there, as well as supporting the show by following our page or becoming a patron. Incidentally, you can also support the show at no cost to you through the Amazon links found at the Nash Holos website. Again, that's www.nashholos.com. I love to hear from you, so please send your comments, suggestions, dedications, and requests. Your comments are always welcome. Нежами вже скінчила нашу програму. Пора нам прощатися на ще один тиждень, але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Земля також хоче свого. Щоб від неї взяти, треба спершу її давати. And our proverb of the week translates as, the earth also expects its due. In order to take something out of it, you must first put something in. And with that, our program has come to an end. We have one last toe tapper for you by the Canadian Rhythm Masters of Winnipeg and the Seven Steps. I'm Pavlina. On behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and PCJ Radio International, thanks so much for listening. Until next time, до побачення.